Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night. Well, not night yet. It's not sundown. It's like 5 p.m. on my time here in New York City on a cold and cloudy day. We need just a couple of sunny days right outside my home. The tulips are starting to come up. They actually, well, they're thriving a bit. I don't know how long they'll be there for, but, well, it's at least they're tulips and not one. Well, we have a really good show of a lot of music that we're going to be doing tonight. And first we're going to have, singer Christine Ullman. And I'll have her tell you, like, all about her. But she is also known as the Beehive Queen. And after that, we're going to have some people from the Broadway show called Helen on 86th Street, and it's teenagers that are doing the show, and we're going to have the writer, the director, and who else? I think she also wrote the lyrics for this song, for the music, and that's Nicole Kemsky, and we're going to have one of the actors, Taylor Lee Berra. And so, well, before we open up our line here and have our guest, you know that it's time for a commercial.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Oh, yes. I think that's such a cute commercial. Oh, and I'll be, the next thing I'll be doing was actually air tranning. But anyway, let's get to our show. And right now I have Christine on the line. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Merle. How are you?
Oh, great. So, first introduce yourself to my audience.
Well, my name is Christine Ullman, O-H-L-M-A-N. My nickname is, in fact, the Beehive Queen, because as a rock and roller, I have a big blonde beehive hairdo. And I front a band called Christine Ullman and Rebel Montez. We just released our sixth record, which is called The Deep End. And also, one of my other day gigs is that I sing with the band on Saturday Night Live, with the Saturday Night Live band.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I do, you know, a bunch of studio work and other kinds of work. So, you know, Alvin and Bill Montez is my baby, and this record, The Deep End, and also we recently had a career compilation called Rehive. Now, those are our two latest records, but also I sing with the band on Saturday Night Live.
Well, right now what I'd like to do, if you'll allow me, I thought I'd start with playing one of the songs from Rehive, Killing Floor.
That's a good one.
Okay,
that's
so
let's hear
that.
All right.
All right.
Was originally done by Howlin' Wolf.
Okay. That now I want to ask you about in terms of the songs. I was able to get two from Deep End, and I have your CD from Rehive. And are you writing any songs first?
Oh yeah, they're pretty much all mine. You just happen to choose one that wasn't, but they're pretty much.
Okay. But you are writing. Yeah. These are songs. The songs on your albums are ones that you write as well as sing.
Pretty much, yes.
Pretty much.
There might be a couple of cover tunes on each record, but most of them are mine, Merle. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now, I guess I should have pulled one that you wrote.
No, that's
so
okay. It's fine. Yeah.
Because I want to ask you, well, what I'll do is we'll talk about some songs before, so your inspiration and stuff, and then we can play one. But what does inspire you to write your songs anyway?
Well, I'm just pretty much inspired by things that I observe in life. sometimes things that happen to me, but I'm more inspired by things that I observe. I write mostly about the personal side of love and relationships. That's what most of my songs are about, rather than writing about things that happen in the exterior world, you know. So I'm inspired just by thinking about how love, the part that love plays in each of our lives. That's pretty much the thing that fuels my inspiration.
And has it been so some up and some are down? Is that the...
Yes, absolutely. Before putting up Deep End, I suffered the loss of both my longtime mate, essentially my husband, and my lead guitar player, both of them.
Oh.
So in between the previous record and the Deep End, we put out Rehive as a career compilation, but in between the previous studio album, which was called Strip, and the Deep End, there was a period of very deep loss in my life.
Mm. Well, I guess that's, was that to say you fell off the Deep End, or is that the...
No, when I started writing songs for the Deep End, they turned out to be kind of more hopeful songs, which I was glad of. I was glad of. As a songwriter, you know, you never really know where the inspiration is going to take you, but I was glad to see that... there was some hope there, and they always say that it's a record about love and the courage to fall into it. I think that's the theme of the record.
Now, are you writing both the music and the lyrics, or?
Yes, I write both.
Well, that's pretty cool. When did you start doing this?
I started singing when I was a teenager. My first band when I was 16. I started writing probably in my mid-20s, maybe. Didn't really come into my own as a writer. My first solo record came out in 1995. So that's really when I started to sort of come into my own as a writer, I think.
So,
and I've had six records since then.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So... when you started to write, I mean, did you have training in music? That's the question.
I've studied voice. I play guitar. I don't really play the piano, so I write on guitar. I had some training, but not really formal training. You know, out on the road, you pick things up pretty fast. And I had some friends that wrote, and I observed what they were doing, and then I started doing it myself. You know, sometimes it's hard to predict sometimes, as you know, how your life is going to go. But before I knew it, I turned into a halfway decent songwriter. Who knew?
So now when you're writing, now are you, when you're composing the songs, are you writing down the notes, or are you just saying, I'm going to sit down at the piano or the guitar, I'm going to play this and record it so I don't have to write it down?
Yeah, I don't write music, so I'm not a trained musician that way. So I tend to start with a lyric idea and sometimes a little bit of a melody. I'll record it into a digital recorder and just kind of work off that and build some chords around that, usually. Guitar chords. And then I'll make a sheet with the lyrics and the guitar chords on it, and that's how I do it.
Oh, the old, what do they call those?
Lead sheets. They're lead sheets. Yeah,
lead
but I don't
sheets,
really know how to write music, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, it's like what you get in a fake book.
Yes, and exactly, in a fake book. Lead sheet. Yep, exactly.
I grew up playing the piano, and once you play the piano, you can figure out any instrument. That was me.
I think that's
once
true.
So basically what I had found, if I've been picking up a piece of sheet music, if I was playing it note for note, I said, something's missing. And at some point early in my training on the piano, I said, I don't like the way, I was trained on classical, of course, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got into the popular music, I didn't like the way it sounded. So I started doing it by the chords. I said, let me have the chords as my backup, and then let me play the melody. And play it the way I want to hear it, feel it, and hear it, you know, that kind of thing. Then I got to a point where I realized I don't need to play the melody anymore. I'm singing the melody, so I just need to fill it in.
Yeah, you learned how to improvise. Yeah, it's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. But that's where I have found that I met somebody who said, I want to learn how to play the guitar. I said, well, let me have your guitar. I'll figure out how it works, and then I can teach it to you. and that's what I did. I said, oh, okay. And I looked at a little book.
Sounds like you're a natural musician. Yeah.
I just kind of looked at a book. I mean, it's kind of like, I guess, either have the sense of a musician or you don't. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Yes, it's true. It's really true.
But put me at a piano and say, Merle, if someone said play a particular song, I would say, I don't know, give me the sheet music. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do that, you know. But anyway, yeah. So it's really great when you can compose a song and not have to write down note for note, because I'm going.
Yeah.
I would also go like, oh, now is that a quarter note? A half note?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm nowhere near that schooled.
Three quarters,
yeah.
Four eighths, you know, got it.
Yeah, I'm not that schooled.
Yeah, so it's great now that because you have, you can do digital music.
Yes, it's wonderful.
And record it that way that you can get that. So basically you said you were like 20 when you started doing this.
Yeah, you know, I was around, it's been a great career for me. I've gotten to do so many great things. Madison Square Garden. I mean, I've sung. Now let me ask you. I am performing in the Metro New York area this weekend. I don't know where your listeners are. They're probably all over the place, right?
They're all over the world.
All over the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, this weekend I am in Paramount, New York, at a place called The Turning Point on Saturday night. If anybody is in the Metro New York area, I'd love to have them come out and see us, you know, and visit with us.
Okay.
But if you're in Paris, I realize you can't do that.
Well, the thing is with that is it's not like it, and it's funny when someone says in the New York metro area, I can look at that and go, where is that? You know, because it's me.
It's true.
Oh, that must be somewhere upstate New York. I'll figure out what county, you know, but that, you know, whereas somebody else will go, oh, sure, I know where that is, you know.
Yeah, well, it's right over the Tappan Zee Bridge, if anybody's wondering.
That's
pretty close to New York.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
Oh, that's not so bad.
No, it's not bad at all. Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the metro area.
Oh, yes, for
that's,
sure.
That's
for
good,
sure.
Yeah. Well, what I want to do is go into a song that you wrote from the album Rehive.
Yes.
I uploaded a whole bunch.
Okay.
I looked at Turn. Is that the one
of
your favorites?
Yeah, Turn is one is a particular favorite of mine, a song called Turn. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's hear that then.
All right.
I
Blog. I take them.
Oh, cool. Yeah, the chicken blog.
I take
blog.
Them wherever I go. Yeah, right.
The chicken blog, yeah.
Yeah, well, it also comes in handy sometimes if there's something, a place I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'm not going to say I don't like it. I can't help if they didn't like it, though.
Right. Excellent thinking, Merle. Yes. They're the anonymous spokespeople.
Yeah.
Very good. I like it.
What I wanted to ask you is, in terms of, like, the rhythm of the song, do you decide on that, too? I mean, or does, the band kind of listen to the...
In the case of that song, I had a real definite idea of the guitar riff that I wanted. I wanted
mm-hmm.
it to be very circular-sounding. So
mm-hmm.
the guitar part kind of indicated the drums in that particular case. Yeah,
right.
I pretty much have an idea of the rhythm for the most part, yeah. I have the whole thing kind of mapped out in my head.
So you tell the band, let's say, this is what I want, and you start, like, snapping your fingers or whatever,
yes.
pound it out on a...
Yeah, or I play it on the guitar, and then they hear.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, of course, we work on it together, and everybody has input, you know. But I have a pretty developed idea of the way I want it to sound.
Oh, cool. Okay.
The Deep End the Deep End was co-produced by a guitar player named Andy York, who plays guitar for John Mellencamp. And Andy had a lot of input in the Deep End to the way the songs would, you know, sounded.
Oh, okay.
So, yep.
What I want to ask you about is just your stint on with Saturday Night Live. How did that happen, and how long were you doing this?
I'm still doing it. I had a friend who
if I watch Saturday Night Live, I'll see you.
You seldom will ever see the band, period, let alone see me. But there are existing clips of me with the band, yeah, for sure. And last year I appeared in a commercial parody called Swine Fever, which was shown twice on the air. Yeah. Most of our work is done during the commercial breaks and before the show. But I had a friend who was a musical director of the show. His name was G.E. Smith, and he was the one who got me into the band in the first place, and
mm-hmm.
I still am there today. So.
Oh, cool. So,
been,
I mean, in the beginning, though, don't they say on the Saturday Night Live band, and they show like this a shot? They don't show the band, but don't they show a like a
it's
photo?
Been a long, it's been actually, honestly, it's been a long time since they've even mentioned the band at the opening of the show. They used to do that. And then there would be a picture of us. They really don't do it anymore. It's been about 4 or 5 years since they've said that. But, yes, at one point there was a picture of the band that would come on, that would flash on the screen, yeah.
Ah, son of a gun.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. Well, it's all right.
No break.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice union gig, you know, so we're very happy to have it. Yeah, we're very happy to have it.
Yeah, it's definitely once a week.
And very interesting, as well. You know, it's an interesting show, and truly is live, and has a great crew and a great, you know.
Can you tell us, like, any, like, interesting things that have happened on, not on Saturday Night Live, you know, behind the stage, meaning, like, to somebody, but in regards to the band, any, like, funny stuff that ever happened or anything?
Well, this January we played a live gig. Tina Fey actually hired us to play her husband's birthday party. We're good friends with her husband too, Jeff Richmond, and we got to play an actual live gig, which we don't get to do that much. And we had
cool.
a wonderful time. There were people there from Saturday Night Live and 30 Rock, and we all hung out together because we all know each other, and it was just a great, we were, you know, sort of inordinately happy about it because we never get to play live gigs. So it was really a lot of fun. And the last time we had played live, they had sent us out to Las Vegas because there's a line of Saturday Night Live slot machines that had just come out. And they put us all on a plane and sent us to Las Vegas to play the opening party for the slot machines. That was the last time we had, yeah.
I gather they got permission for it, I guess, not as in
oh yes, it's all owned by the show. Yeah. Yeah, it was with different characters, Church Lady and the Killer Bees and the Steve Martin, the Wild and Crazy Guys. They were all, it was more of older characters from Saturday Night Live that were on the slot machines.
That's,
sort of classic characters. Yeah.
But as far as, like, has anything funny happened while you were on the set? Or nothing, like, or
well,
or
I was there both when Sinead O'Connor ripped up the picture of the Pope, and I was there when Ashley Simpson forgot what song she was singing and went running off the stage. I was there for both those things. Yeah. Both of them were pretty shocking at the time. Yeah.
I guess you guys like have a good time while you're doing this.
Oh, we have a tremendous time. It's a wonderful group of people, and they're great musicians. Everybody that works on the show is just great, from the cast to the crew to the director. Everybody is just wonderful. They really are.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I guess the rest of the time, are you on the road?
I'm on the road a good deal of the time, yes. And I do a lot of different kinds of gigs. So Christine Ullman and Rebel Montez, as I said, we have this new record called The Deep End, which is takes up a lot of my time. We're also just getting ready to put out a concert DVD, which is going to be called Live Hive, named after my beehive. So it's going to be called Live Hive.
Oh, cool.
And that's coming out in the beginning of June. And other than that, yeah, I mean, I travel around. I'll be performing at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival in 2 weeks in New Orleans to benefit the New Orleans Musicians Clinic. So that's a very, very much of a pet charity of mine, and I'm very involved with them. So I'll be in New Orleans for that.
And any funny or weird things that have that you can tell us that have happened as being on the road?
There's always funny and weird things happening on the road. I'm just trying to. I mean, not actually. I can't think of anything recently.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you think about it. I want to play Wicked Time.
Okay, great.
I'm going to play Wicked Time and let you think about it. Okay.
Okay, Merle.
All right.
Let's
go with Wicked Time.
That's a deal.
the things I left undone.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I got nothing but wicked times, and you ain't nothing but finer than fine. I'm going home, baby, jumping off the land. Let you talk and drive me out of my head.
And someone had said to me that there was a house that was covered in tin foil. There was a man that had actually covered his house, and the surrounding fence was totally covered in tin foil. My husband's favorite bird was a cardinal, and a red cardinal. And I followed the directions that they gave me. I was in a car by myself on the way to the gig. I came around the corner, and indeed there was a house that was completely covered in tin foil. And every inch of the fence and the gate were covered in tinfoil. And as I approached the house and the blinding, you know, silver of all of this, a big red cardinal came and sat right on the tinfoil covered fence. I mean, like, you couldn't miss it. It was the only red thing in a sea of silver.
Wow.
So that was pretty. I mean, I don't really believe in ghosts, but I thought that was pretty prophetic, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
And pretty cool. And so that's a road story. I was on the way to gig when that happened.
Yeah, you got
that's a road story.
My next tendency as a journalist is now to Google that to find out like why this guy would do that, the tinfoil.
Yeah, I have no idea. You know, there's lots of people that, well, I have no idea. I mean, ornamentation was what I was told, but it really was something. It was really quite amazing.
Oh, okay.
Not a real big
cool
house, but it was covered in tinfoil.
Okay. I wouldn't want to be a pilot flying by.
No. No. That was my thought. This must give off a wicked reflection from the air.
Yeah. You know? Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, else you could sit on top of the roof and get a great suntan.
You probably could, Merle. You could get a real, you'd bake yourself. Speaking of chickens, put any chickens up there. Yeah.
Right, you know.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
So what I want to do next now is get into the other album, Deep End.
Yes.
I think I have, I got two songs I got, am I correct? I got The Deep End.
Yeah.
And wait a minute, is it Love Make You Do Stupid Things?
Love Make You Do Stupid Things, yep.
Okay. So let's, first let me ask you, what stupid things did you do before I play this?
Well, everybody's done stupid things. I mean, that really doesn't relate to me. I mean, it was just an idea, and it's been a very, very popular song off the record. The first video off the record was that song. It's being played pretty widely throughout the South and on the radio. And I think everybody's done stupid things. So I just started thinking about what would happen if you were driving along late at night and, you know, after just having a fight with your boyfriend or something, and you're just thinking, you know, really, it just does make you do such stupid things at times. That was the whole idea for the song. Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's pretty cool. Before I hit that, as you're on the road, as you were doing gigs, like, you know, have you met in terms of interesting people or not interesting people? Like, you know, other than the gig you did with the Tina Fey thing. I mean, do you wind up like? You know, socializing with the stars?
Oh, sure. Well, on the record with me, I duet with Dion on the record. I also duet with Marshall Crenshaw. I duet with Ian Hunter from Mop the Hoople. LaVon Helm plays drums on two tracks. I've sung with Bob Dylan at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, cool.
I just got through doing a series of gigs with Ronnie Spector from the Ronettes.
Oh my God!
When I'm in New Orleans, I just got through doing a private house concert with Dr. John the night after he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Dion, as in?
Yes.
Run around to Dion?
Yep, that's Dion.
Wow. I didn't even know he's still around doing anything.
Oh yes, he's in wonderful health and. Has put out two really interesting blues albums in the last 4 years.
Wow.
So,
I'll have to follow up. That would be a good thing to follow up on, you know, for people, you know.
He has a record called Bronx in Blue and one called Son of Skip James that are just amazing. He plays the Delta Blues, and it's quite amazing.
Okay. I'll talk with you another time as to how I could possibly get in touch with him because I think this would be a cool thing. Have him on the radio and talking about like who remembers Dion and even if you don't, it's interesting as to when you have singers like when I say from the past, from many years ago, and now they're playing now, and I kind of look at it and say, well, I look like in the audience and say, well, who is here, and are there young people that are appreciating the music from the past?
Mm-hmm.
As well as whatever they're doing now, you know. The Midtown Men. That was a concert that I went to at Queens College, and it was four guys from the original Broadway show of Jersey Boys.
Oh yeah.
And the four guys got together and decided to do their own thing, and now calling it the Midtown Men. But when they're singing songs from like the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I was interested in terms of when I went, I was like looking around to see whether, you know, the age was between 60 and death.
Yeah.
Or, or young people that you know wanted to hear it.
But
I have to say it was hard to tell because when you're looking at a gig like that, like at Queens College, I think people might have subscriptions. And once they have a subscription, so they're just going. So it was kind of hard to tell. But that was pretty cool. So what I want to do now then, so let's play Love Make You Do Stupid Things.
Okay, this is off the deep end.
Stop doing the stupid things, huh?
Yes, you do have to stop, yeah.
Although I have to tell you, it doesn't necessarily have to pertain to a person that you're, you know, a mate or that kind of thing. Just,
that's right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I got involved with a women's tackle football team, the New York Sharks.
Yep.
And that was back in 2002, and it was the love of wanting to like see them get somewhere. That made me do, well, some stupid things, meaning like, what the hell, I'm going to try this anyway, you know.
Yeah, understood.
Believe me, I finally stopped. Finally stopped doing it.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
That's good.
I'll let someone else do the stupid things, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, what I want to do is, like, is there something else, like something that you can share with us before I end our session? Because I'm going to end our session here with playing the Deep End. But,
Well, I just, I really would just like to say that, to say my name again, which is Christine Ullman, and it's ChristineUllman.net, and my nickname is the Beehive Queen on Facebook. There is a Beehive Queen Facebook page. I'd love to connect with anyone that's listening and say hi. So, as I said, if you do want to look me up on Facebook, there's two ways to do it. One is to look up Beehive Queen, and the other one is to look up Christine Ullman, O-H-L-M-A-N. And the new record is The Deep End. There will be a concert DVD called Live Hive that will be out. We're on tour this summer throughout the East Coast, and including the Music Fest in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania in August.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? You know, it's funny because I wanted to go last year, and then it was like a whole thing of trying to get in touch with whoever, and I said, oh, forget it. The only thing I hate about that is that it's in August and hot. But that is such a great space. I mean, I've gone to it once.
We're looking forward to it. Yeah, we're appearing on Sunday, August 7th. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably maybe have somebody talk about that because I think it's a cool idea. It's almost like when you're doing like a fringe festival or, you know, things like that go on. And so as opposed to theater kind of stuff, this one is music kind of stuff.
It's all music for a number of days, yeah.
Yeah,
are
you going to be in a featured concert?
Yes.
I know that they have, like, separate as opposed to, you know, I don't know, like you go to different little areas. Are you in a featured concert?
I'm on the Main Street stage. I'm not really sure what that is, but I'm appearing Sunday night, August 7th.
Okay.
Will
people have to get separate tickets for that?
I don't know, Merle. Honestly, don't know much about it.
I'll check that out because sometimes that's what happens. And that's cool. That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
So, okay. It was. I will call you about some other stuff, but because I want to follow up on all this and this will be kind of great. So,
to meet you and the chickens. I love it.
Thank you for talking with us. And by the way, I don't know, like, who the people are, but I have some, when I'm doing this thing, there's a chat line, and no one's chatting with me, but I look on the thing, and I can see that there are guests on the chat line, so probably they're listening. I guess that means they're listening to the show in order to go on the chat line. So, for those people... They got that information firsthand as opposed to the people who will be listening to the podcast of this.
Well, all right. That's fabulous. Yeah.
Okay. Well, have a great evening.
Thank you, Merle.
And happy holidays.
Thank you, and I'll look forward to speaking with you. Okay.
Okay. Take care.
Rock on, everybody. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Christine.
Bye.
Okay, so I'm going to end this segment with the song, The Deep End.
Mm-hmm.
shallow water, never afraid of a dog. Hard to handle, the excitable kind, take off running when I have to wobble. And maybe I should listen when mama said, girl, to yourself be true. I was hard-headed, couldn't make up my mind, was I waiting for only you? I will jump right.
Someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted. Fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
And you can get these absolutely wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. Brownies.com. Yes, they're so good that Brownies is their website. Unfortunately, they are in the Phoenix area, so you can't just go to your like nearest grocery store. But they're worth it. They're so worth it. Now we're going to go talking about this Broadway show, Helen on 86th Street, and I have both Nicole Kempsky.
Yes.
And I also have Taylor on too, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, before you go into this whole thing, I want to share something with you guys so you know that I understand where you're coming from in terms of doing a show with teenagers.
Oh, great.
And the interesting thing is, when I look back and think, was I that young? And at the time, I didn't even think so. When I was like, I had been in show business since like I was 14, and I was a comedian, and I had a duo there, and as a matter of fact, Joel Brooks, who was my other half, is still in show business. And but what happened was that there was a guy in the neighborhood, and he had this repertory group, and I guess he was 15, and so everybody that was in the show was about that age. Nobody ever thought about it, that we were so young, because you're as old as you're old. You know what I'm saying? You don't see,
I'm young, I'm old.
You know, I'm just doing it. And what had happened to the, I also learned how to play the piano and sing. And at some point, when I was 17, and I had gotten a summer job. A summer job. I was in the movie Up the Down Staircase.
Ooh.
And I got this, and I'm still getting residuals, as small as they are. But when I got into the movie, it was like I had skipped 2 years of school. So when I was 17, it was after my first year of college. So I was getting a summer job, and I had told the director of the repertory group, I said, well, I can't do any more shows because I'm really busy, you know, and it's the summertime and I have a job. And he called me and he says to me, Merle, you don't have to be in the show. I mean, I just need you to be the musical director. And of course, I'm taken aback going, the what, you know? And I said, but, you know, the brain is going, okay, if that's what you want, fine. And so I said, what do you have for me? And he's got a piano player, he's got a drummer, and a flute player, and a clarinet player. And, of course, the clarinet player is a B-flat instrument. I'm going, I see. So I have to deal with that it's another type of instrument. And so I'm doing this. I also had to compose the overture and play six songs and also teach everybody not only the songs, the harmonies, the whole bit. And I thought, okay, and I'll do my best. And 2 weeks into the rehearsal, he gets back to me and he says, Merle, we have a problem. So-and-so had to leave. I need you to take her spot. And I said, but this is like third lead. And I said, well, okay, because he's asking me to do it. Whenever he says, Merle, you could do it, I go, okay, I guess I could do it. So I did that. But the funny part came when I was now delivering a line to this guy. I run off the stage, and he slowly is now approaching the front of the stage to sing a song that I'm going to accompany him on. So I'm trying to slip off the stage, run down the steps, and get to the piano by the time he gets to the front of the stage to accompany him.
Wow.
So that's my tale. So what I'm saying is I understand when teenagers, because it was all teenagers, we were doing the Roar of the Grease Paint, the Smell of the Crowd, and it's all teenagers, and there was absolutely no adult supervision on this whole thing.
Well, we've got a lot of adult supervision on this one.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
Well, what I first want to talk about is let's talk about the show. Nicole,
yeah.
Tell us about like where you are with the show, like your whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got the story sent to me from a friend. It's from the New Yorker magazine. It's a short story by Wendy Kaufman, and he sent it to me many years ago, and I was looking for some material for a summer program I work in, and our theme was New York City. So I pulled it out and started working on it and adapting it into a musical version, and did just a very short 20-minute version with some students of mine, and we really loved it, and everyone really was engaged. So I decided to then go forward and get the actual rights from the author to adapt it. And so then that was last January, and from there we began writing, and we had finished it around June, and then we started developing it, and that's when Taylor came on board around July. We started auditioning kids for these roles, and we built our first cast and did a short version, like a one-hour version of the show for a full audience, multiple, you know, about 180 people. We did different sort of readings in September, and then we did a full-length reading, and then we did an equity reading with a lot of Broadway people. A lot of our cast are Broadway actors. And then we are now in the midst of rehearsals for the fully produced production, which goes up very soon. We just got out of our 6-hour rehearsal, actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tell us what's the story on the, what's the plot?
Sure. It's about a 12-year-old girl. Her name is Vida. And her mother, her dad has left. And so her mom is raising her. Dad left about 3 years before when the story starts, and she's being raised by her mom, who is trying to get her PhD at Columbia, but also trying to raise her daughter. And for some, Vida gets the idea in her mind that if she can get the part of Helen of Troy in her school play, they're doing the Trojan Horse, then her dad will come back. So it's really all about her journey and everything she does to try and get this part and everything that she's working towards and praying to goddess Athena and burning letters and doing all sorts of things as a 12-year-old might if they desperately want to get the part, because she believes that her dad will come back, and that's the way to get her dad to come back. And that's the part Taylor plays. And that's who's on the other line.
Yeah. Well, before I go into that, so what I understand now, in terms of the music,
mm-hmm.
did you write the music?
No, Robbie Stamper is a wonderful composer who we've written multiple children's musicals together. So he wrote the music, and I wrote the book and the lyrics.
Oh, okay. So he wrote the yeah, I guess the...
Yeah, he's
the
composer.
I have to now distinguish between the lyrics and the music. Okay.
Right, yeah. So he composed the music, and he's a fantastic composer through BMI, and he was a dramatist fellow, and he's done lots of wonderful things, so...
Oh, cool. All right,
yeah.
So what I want to do right now is play the opening song.
Okay.
One of those days, and I guess that
great.
that Taylor is featured in.
Taylor singing it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's hear that before we talk to Taylor.
Oh, Mom, ever wake up in the morning and you're tingling? Both accords are buzzing, they gotta sing. What's it mean? I don't know and I can't tell you, but I know that it's good. Something big is gonna happen. This is one of those days when the subway comes out, when it push ups in gym and you get to go back, when the feet and the gods are all smiling and shining.
dog while singing la la la, but we're talking.
That's
we're
right.
Going to talk with Taylor.
What's ironic is that it's, you know what, it's Taylor singing most of it, but it's me trying to pretend like I'm a 12-year-old because I was the only other person there that day, so I had to sing a 12-year-old's part. So.
Oh, is that? That's hysterical.
Yeah.
So I'm not listening to Taylor, really.
Well, you were listening to Taylor. I was the second voice that came in just a couple times.
Oh, okay. Got it. I wasn't... So Taylor, tell us, how did you get into show business, or what prompted you to even get into this state
of
mind?
I was about 7 years old when an audition for Anne came up for a local community group that I do sometimes, and my sister wanted to audition, and she actually got the part of Annie. So I said, you know what, it might be fun to be in a show with my sister. And so I tried out, and I got in, and I really enjoyed it. So that's when it really all started.
Oh, cool. So this is going to be the first time that you're on Broadway? What are they considering this? Is this Broadway, off-Broadway, on-Broadway?
It's actually off-Broadway. This is the very first stage. You know, this is what you do to get interest in it, to then get investors and people to move it. So this is actually... Technically, it's what we call an equity showcase. So the Actors Equity Union gives you special rules to develop something and put it all together in a version of a show, but it doesn't run forever and ever the way a normal show would. So.
Got it. Okay. So tell me what it's like being in this.
It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it because all the cast members are a lot of fun. And it's really cool to really get to get up on stage and sing in front of a lot of people.
And Taylor's a pro. She was in the tour of Little House on the Prairie, the musical. So she's come in. Most of our kids come to us with multiple. A lot of them have Broadway credits. And all of them have multiple theater credits. Like Taylor.
I'm getting a flashback. The Little House on the Prairie. Didn't it play in New York? Didn't it do something in New York?
The tour didn't do anything in New York. It was in New Jersey at the Paper Mill Playhouse.
Okay, because I thought something having to do with the Fringe Festival or one of those things that they have here. No, it wasn't part of that?
No, Taylor did the one with Melissa Gilbert. Melissa Gilbert played Ma. Melissa Gilbert, who originated the role of Laura.
On the TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering about that. So, did you, Taylor? Did you like have voice training, or you just happened to be all natural?
I have voice training, and with Mona Greenberg. She's my voice teacher, and we go. I go to her every other Wednesday. So, some voice training, yeah.
And how about the acting? Did you go to acting school?
I have not taken any acting lessons.
You're a natural,
but
then.
She's a natural, but don't you work in the summers? You go to the Paper Mill
Conservatory? Yeah, I go to a conservatory at Paper Mill Playhouse in the summer. So, yes, kind of acting.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. I guess this is... The show is going to open, when is it? It's pretty soon, isn't it?
It's opening next Thursday night. Yeah, the 28th.
Okay. I'm going to see what I can do with my schedule.
Oh, yeah, we'd love to have you there.
But
it's a pretty special show.
Yeah, it's like Twist My Arm. I have to review Sister Act and heavens knows what. But I'll take a look at it to see if I can fit it in, at least just so I can go and meet you guys anyway.
So
this whole thing is based on a book that everybody gets to read. I never got to read
it. It's actually a short. Do you know the New Yorker magazine? It's a weekly magazine that comes out, and in the back they always have a fiction section. So in the fiction section, there's always one featured short story. So this is actually really only like a 4-page. Story. It's in an English high school English textbook, so a lot of high school students use it. in class. They have to they read the story and compare it to the Odyssey. But it's not something that I don't think it's other than that, and colleges use it as well. But it's not something that it's not like a book like Harry Potter that everyone reads.
Oh, okay. So in other words, you took the short story and said
expanded
let's do
it.
Something with it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I took the short story and really brought out all. I created a number of the student characters that Vita goes to school with, and that was the. And then we used most of all the characters that are in the story are in the musical, but then I added all the student characters, all the rest of the kids.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
I'm about to play. I want to play the song "Letters," and tell me, like, Taylor, tell me what this is about before I play it.
In "Letters," right before it, she has just found out that in the Parthenon, in ancient Greece, people used to burn things that were special to them, and they believed it would bring them, like, good things and, like, what they wanted. So she thinks of this idea that if she burns letters and wishes for her dad to come, it will help her, and maybe her dad will actually come. So in this song, she's talking about the letters that she's about to burn, and these are the letters mm-hmm. that she writes her dad, and they're very special to her.
Okay, so let's hear it.
I've written all these letters, three boxes full of letters, to tell my dad what's happening back home. I never really send them, I don't know where to send them. You see, Dad has a tendency to roam. But Dad, I wish you were here. It's scary on our own. I feel that maybe you're near. Try hard to be a good daughter, but it's hard when there's only us two. Are you thinking of us like we're thinking of you? Do you sit on the shore and think, what did I do? Do you miss us the way that I miss you and Mom misses you? That's what I'd like to say in letters, to send him of my heart. These are the letters that I write my dad. Instead I play it smart. I hide my feelings in these letters. Don't tell him what it's like for me. He needs to know that we still love him. We send our best across the sea. So instead what I write, what comes out, what I say is, Trojan Horse is our annual school play. I play a soldier who's on the Greek side. Though we win and the war goes our way, many innocent Trojans have died. And the years will go by before I travel back to my family in Crete, who avoided attack. And I think we're alike, 'cause we both seek adventure and faith.
first I thought it ended.
I know it's a fake out. It tricks you. You think it's over,
yeah,
and then there's that nice little tag at the end.
Yeah, that old fake out ending. I'm going, oh. And I went, oh, it did end. Oh, shit. you have a really nice voice, Taylor.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, I have two rubber chickens that I have a blog on, and they're in the room here, and let me hear their opinion. What's Esther? Yep, that's that. They said yes. That's
okay.
Thumbs up.
They like they're excellent.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
thank you.
Cool.
Their opinion matters more than anyone's.
I want to get back to Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
What? I guess this is like the first thing you've ever done, right?
No, I've been in theater my whole life. Yeah, I started like Taylor doing local theater, community theater, children's theater, and then I pursued it in college and worked as I was a professional actor for many years. And then switched over more to the directing, choreography side and writing. And then I actually founded a children's theater in Brooklyn. So that gave me a great opportunity to work with young people and to do a lot of writing of musicals for them with Robbie, my composer for this. And then I've just moved more into the writing area and the directing and choreography. And I don't really feel the need to act anymore. That's over. I'm happy just to work with actors. And so this is the biggest undertaking, obviously, but I've been doing lots of original musicals that we've produced at my children's theater.
Oh, that's great. If I Googled your name, would I find any particular shows?
I mean, Robbie and I have written a lot of that. We take a lot of stories.
Knowing the shows that you were in, I mean.
I was, yeah. You will see I did Stephen Sondheim's Assassins, and I worked a lot in Boston. That's where I'm from originally.
Oh, okay.
So I did. I played Squeaky Fromm and Assassins. I did Company at the Huntington Theater. I did Last Night of Ballyhoo. I worked pretty consistently regionally in regional theater. So.
That's great. The theater wasn't my favorite because it's like one at a time, you know.
Yeah.
Is you rehearse, but you're there, you know. I mean, if I'm doing a nightclub act, I can always kind of like, okay, I made a mistake or whatever kind of thing, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and movies are the best. Movies are the best. You just do, okay, another take, you know. You make mistakes.
Yeah,
and you
there's
just do
no
another
other
take until you get it right.
Theater.
So. This is a great thing.
Just so if anyone is listening and they're interested to see the show, you can. We have tickets on sale, limited number. We sold a lot of tickets. Mostly, a lot of the houses are full, but there are some tickets left, and you can get them on SmartTix. That's SmartTix.com. And we also have a website where you can hear more of the songs from the show. You can actually see Taylor. You can see what she looks like now you've heard her beautiful voice. And you can hear about the show, read a little synopsis, see clips from the kids during rehearsals, some of clips from our rehearsals from our readings. And that's www.helenon86.com. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to see some people at the show because it's a really, really, it's a rare opportunity to see. We have 15 young performers and I think they're the best in New York City that will be on that stage along with four adults, seasoned Broadway adults. And it's just a real opportunity to see the kids being the star of the show. But it's still a regular full-length family musical. It's not children's theater. It's a regular, you know, family show. So.
Right. I understand that you were interviewed by Valerie Smaldone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is, and talk about, you know, how things connect. When I went to see, I had gone to see the Midtown Men at Queens College, and she was there. She was introducing the show. And afterwards, I met one woman who does some, I guess she does PR. And I said, you know, send me, you know, whatever you want. And the PR, and the person was the person I just had on before, Christine Ullman.
Huh.
So it's like, you know, so this connection, the Valerie Smaldone, you know, with this connection to find out you were on that, I thought, oh, what a coincidence. Maybe I better call some Valerie Smaldone and get her on the show. If this
she's great. She's really great. She was, yeah, that was our first Helen interview. And then we did actually WQXR last night.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we
did Bob Sherman's show that will be airing.
Mm-hmm.
The kids came on. We had five kids come on and sing. So that would be really nice. Did you be able to hear it on that station? Yeah. Wednesday, May 4th at 9.
The theater is at, the address is?
That's a good question. I don't have it in front of me, and I should know it by heart.
I'm getting that it's on West 54.
It's 54.
Between 8th and 9th or 9th and
10th? Yeah, it's between 8th and 9th. It's actually connected to the courthouse, so just look for the police cars, and you'll know where to go. It's the American Theater for Actors. There's a courthouse flag, and underneath the flag for the courthouse is the flag for the American Theater for Actors.
Yeah, okay. Well, for anybody in New York that happens to be going and doesn't feel like driving, the E-train stops at 50th Street.
Yeah, that's the easiest thing to do.
That's the easiest one, yeah.
Yes, and let me give you the exact address. It's the American Theater of Actors, the Chernuchin Theater, and it's 314 West 54th Street.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I'll have to go also and check out the restaurants over there so I can review a restaurant while I'm doing
Oh, yeah, that's
doing
good.
That.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Oh, yeah. No, I do it to kill two rats. With one stone,
because
the birds, I don't know whoever did that. I mean, you know, just pigeons, well, I'm not that fond of. But, you know, you see a canary, you don't want to kill two canaries, you know what I mean?
Definitely not.
Yeah, so kill two rats. Well, let me go into the other song that I have up here. Is it Vita or Vita? How is it pronounced?
Vita.
Vita's Incantation? Okay, so that's also, and that's the other one that features Taylor as well. Let's hear that one.
Be Helen on on West 86th Street, the girl who saves the day. Helen on West 86th Street, the hero of our play. Well, you see, our show is on the rocks. The play is just a mess, 'cause our Helen's got the chicken pox, and Mr. Dog, well, he's got stress.
Helen on West 86th Street, Cafetoria and fame. Helen on West 86th Street,
everyone will know my name.
She'll play Dolly Levi Young Coquette, then it's all to Juilliard.
To play Lady Anne and Juliet,
she will master the great bard. Helen on West 86th Street, star of Sondheim's New Review. Helen on West 86th Street, she'll astound in her debut, and the Tonys will be calling her to accept their honored prize. In the West and for the show transfer,
my career is on the rise.
Helen on West 86th Street,
now it's gone to Hollywood.
Helen on West 86th Street, the reviews are in, they're good.
And the Oscar party will be grand.
She's the next great superstar. They will speak her name across the land. They will know her near and far. Helen on West 86th Street,
the story of my life.
Helen on West 86th Street,
we got to hear some more of the cast, huh?
Kind of. That was actually me and Robbie playing all the people
okay.
on the cast.
No, I said some more, at least some more of the cast, that, you know, because I was putting up songs. I just realized I probably should have put up one song that had the entire cast of singing or something like that. But that's okay. Have you considered doing this at the Queen's Theater in the Park?
No, I don't. I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, okay. As a matter of fact, it happens that I'm going there tonight. Queen's Theater in the Park, by the way, is located in Flushing Meadow, Corona Park, and it's like, and they have, like, there's a lot of stuff like for kids. There's stuff for, you know, there's different. It's like a bigger theater, a smaller theater. And if you want, I'll talk with somebody about it. If this is something that your place you might like to bring it to, I know.
Sure. Why not?
They're all taken care of probably for this season, but that's a good spot. A lot of shows, but shows try out there as well as you're getting a lot of like concerts. You know, like stars mm-hmm. are coming there to entertain. But that might be a really great shot for you. So I'll get that information for you, and I have an in with these people, having, you know, gone there for so many years and written about it. In the meantime, so is anything else like that either of you would like to share?
No, just Taylor. You want to say something?
No. Okay.
I think we're both exhausted because we just did 6 hours of
hardcore rehearsing.
But
the only thing we want to remind everyone is that it is a limited run. There's only 11 performances, and if you want to see it, you want to go to smarttix.com. Make sure you get those tickets soon. And it is at the American Theater of Actors, the Chernuchin Theater on 54th Street. It's a wonderful, wonderful group of people, wonderful cast, really special story, and I think families, I think grandparents, moms, dads, all different ages would love it. So,
great. Okay, thank you so much for coming on the show. And
thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do to get this information out there, and as I hopefully I can make it.
Well, we look forward to meeting you.
Okay, good. Thanks. And me too. Have
okay.
a great evening and a great holidays.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. Yes. So that was go see the show, and the music sounds good. I don't know. You know, I'll go see the show and come back with the. My opinion. Now, I the last show I saw on Broadway was Catch Me If You Can, and I'll be reviewing it in the Queen's Times. But what I'd like to kind of talk about with it now, I saw the movie. Catch Me If You Can, and I enjoyed the movie. Now, the play is not the movie. The play is based on the movie. So, if you're going to see the play and expect the movie version of it, and think, well, if that's not going to be the one, I'm not going to see it. Well, then don't. What it is that they've adapted it in the way that it begins with the guy getting arrested, and he's telling the hotel, but he's telling the hotel he's telling it as a show, going into, like, as a Broadway show. So this is now done in that style with choreography and, and songs and et cetera, et cetera. So, it's not a hokey show by any means. I mean, this is really, really good. This is really worth seeing. The acting is fabulous. The choreography is great. There's nothing about it that you won't like. So on the scale of seeing the show as a piece of entertainment, I highly recommend it. Seeing the show because you want, as I said, to see the movie version, then don't bother. Seating wise, let's see. I always talk about seating wise because it's I know Broadway is expensive. My feeling with most shows, I mean, this is not a show that you need to be up close to see it. It's one if you need to save money. I don't know if there'll be half price tickets at this point, but if there are any half price tickets going, get the least expensive seats and bring a pair of glasses. Field glasses, but other than that. It makes for a quite enjoyable evening. I'm not going to go into the particular songs, et cetera. I will, or maybe I'll talk about that on the next show. And so I'm going to leave you now, because as I had said, I'm off to Queens College to see show called, it's called Broadway Stoppers. Now, I know I saw this before, and it's not going to be the same show. And I can't think of the guy's first name. Last name is Berg. And he does this. and I will chat about that. Actually, I'll have him. I'll see if I can get him on one of my radio shows. So I'm going to end the show a little early and talk to everybody, I guess, next week. So have a great holiday. I know it's still Passover, and I have to tell you the best right now. And I have to share. I am not Orthodox Jewish. I'm really Reformed. And so personally, I don't like when dealing with Passover in the terms of I don't necessarily get everything that's kosher for Passover. Okay, and I just want to also let people know that if you do buy things that are kosher for Passover, there is an advantage. The advantage being that you're buying food that is fresh. I mean, the in terms of being dated or whatever, so you can, you know, clear that the food is fresh. The other thing is that there's a lot of things without gluten because potato starch is used for different things. That's another advantage. The biggest advantage for me was the other day going to Stop and Shop, and a lot of it was on sale because by this point, whoever bought stuff for Passover for the Seder already got what they needed to get. So I went, it was bargain time there for me. There are frozen sweet potato pancakes. There was like 8 of them in a package for a buck. I mean, so my mistake is I only bought 2. But there was also cans of tuna fish. I get Geffen or Gelfin, I think is the company. I'm trying to remember. But anyway, but the tuna fish is tuna in just water and salt. I mean, not vegetable protein and this stuff and whatever. Please read the labels when you're buying a can of tuna fish. If it says tuna in water, read the label for the contents. It's not just tuna and water. There's more of other stuff. So it's a lot more expensive. And when I go to Trader Joe's, I can get the good stuff for usually about $1.49. Anyway, these were all on sale. It was $1.25. I think I only bought 6. I need to get more. So just putting it out there. Well, anyway, but everybody, have a fantastic holiday, whichever you're celebrating. And if you're not, then just have a good time. And, see you next time. Now, I always, there's my song. Okay.